If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Nothing to me says romance like looking for condoms and Hennessy.
She's the crazy one of the season.
And the drunk.
He calls her Naggy.
His shirt's open like a Colombian drug lord.
He does not like pizza.
Can we talk about the big, wide open fish mouth?
He's like a walking success poster.
You're listening to the Bachelor Podcast with me, Christine Lee, and Katie Pallotta. Hi, Katie.
Hi.
And Ryan Jones. Hello, Ryan.
I refuse to waboom.
We're going to have to get to him immediately. But so we're following Rachel, our bachelorette, and I think this was my favorite episode that has ever existed, bar none, across all of the Bachelor, Bachelorette, Bachelor in Paradise franchise. There's just something so insanely realistic about Rachel. I just love her. So we start out, she's looking for husband material. I guess one guy gets sent home because he's a liar and a cheat. But let's start with the very beginning. We get to find out she's going on a group date, a one-on-one, and another group date.
Yeah, I thought this episode had a lot of great dates. I feel like the past few seasons, we haven't had any actual awesome dates. And I thought these were kind of realistic in a way. She likes to play basketball. The guys were playing basketball, husband material.
I love that competition.
Yeah, that was probably as realistic as it comes.
I'm pretty much going to go out on a limb and say that they hired someone who is a wife and a mom and who cooks and cleans and does it all and works and is a badass and is married and makes it look flawless and easy for that particular competition. You know, if I sound like I'm talking stiff, it's because my back is killing me and I have this roller on my back. I'm in
to
so
paint
much
the picture
pain.
For everybody, she
I'm in so much pain.
Have you
right
ever
now?
Seen Silence of the Lambs when Hannibal Lecter has to be rolled around and this thing straight up? She's actually sitting in something like that, just straight up leaning back. It's quite the visual.
I mean, literally, I could cry right now. It's so much pain.
Oh, I thought you just enjoyed the episode so much that you're just in tears of joy.
I'm laughing so hard, I'm crying. I thought you really were able to read her face very well with some of these guys, especially where we're saying, no romance, no sparks, stop treating me like you're my sister or brother.
She was not fake. Oh, she was so real, and you knew exactly what she was thinking about every conversation that she was having.
Yeah, and she's been pretty clear about, well, I'm not going to make the first move on these guys. It's up. I want to see what they're feeling. And so some of the one-on-one time has sort of seemed a little awkward, but that's sort of by design because she wants to see who's going to bring the spark to her.
You know,
she's seen what happens when the star has to try to create that. And no, she's doing it the right way.
When the guys first came out for the husband material competition, did you see they immediately started pushing each other out of the way? Like one guy, and I can't keep these guys straight yet. I can't tell them apart, a lot of them still. Like Iggy, I had to look him up.
Well, we started with More Than Ever.
Yeah.
And they stopped putting the names up for short-term talks. And so some of them would start saying something. I'd say,
a mistake on their part.
And even got, you know, people on my quote-unquote team. So like Bryce starts talking, is that Peter? No, who's, it's just, guys, for at least another couple weeks, if someone's on screen speaking and it's not Rachel, just give us the name.
The name they did not have to super on the screen, Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis.
Oh, yes. They were fun.
Who are huge fans of the show. And another, I felt, a totally real moment where they say their Monday nights are Chardonnay for her and vodka tonics for him. And they sit and watch whatever, you know.
Although he got a lot of pub for his compliment when he was saying, oh, you know, I don't think her guy is here, being that at the husband material. And Mila said, oh, you know, give him a chance. It's only day two. He said, well, I knew on day one.
Somebody's getting laid tonight.
The problem with that.
Quote of the night.
The problem with that is on day one.
She was 16.
Well, forget how old.
They met on That 70s Show.
Yeah, he was with someone else. And
Demi Moore.
Thank you very much. So If it were day one, I think they got some splaining to do.
I didn't even unravel that till just now. Very good detective work, Mr. Jones.
Well, there you go. But I'm
not sure he thought that through.
No, yeah. I mean, either way, it was a good day for him because clearly things went well for him.
I totally envision him being on the street and a rabid fan runs up and says, "Oh my God." And he's saying, "Brace for it. They're going to say, Ashton, I want your autograph." And they say, "Jared from The Bachelor."
Yeah. He did give Jared a nice shout out.
I mean, talk about building someone's confidence up. Yeah. Because, listen, Jared's our guy, and Jared's a good-looking dude. Jared's no Ashton. And so for somebody like Ashton to mention it,
right?
Because if this were something Jared said, we would totally be tooling on him.
Of course.
Yeah, sure. You look like Ashton Kutcher, Jared. But for Ashton to bring it up, I mean, that's a... it's a pound the chest for our buddy Jared.
Right. Oh, for sure. I thought... And I'm looking at Mila Kunis, and all I can see is the whiskey commercial.
Yeah.
I was waiting for her to take out a bottle and maybe be pushing something, but they were pushing nothing. It was just kind of refreshing.
I thought to have them on this specific date was a great job on the producer's part.
There were three celebrities, and none of them were pushing
anything.
Ride Along 2 or whatever it's been in years past. They were just there, and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, maybe he's not a fan of the show, but was... is obviously one of the most recognizable older basketball players in the world. And then, you know, for Ashton and Mila just to show up, like that's kind of cool.
You said three, and I'm like, wait, there's only two. Because Ashton and Mila count as one.
No. They are their own people, Christine.
Right. What would you do if you walked out and saw Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and you had to play basketball in front of him while trying to impress a girl?
I would feel a lot like Lee, because I like...
the songwriter?
Yeah. I like basketball, and I enjoy playing basketball, but I am awful at basketball. So if all of a sudden, it's one thing if you're just playing pickup with the guys, but if all of a sudden Kareem Abdul-Jabbar showed up, for example, I was playing at my gym, just shooting by myself, whatever, and UConn women's coach Gino Auriemma walks in.
Oh, no.
And he's putting his son, when he was still in college, putting his son through some drills. And I'm thinking, well, obviously, not that he's paying any attention to me, but the last thing I want to do is start throwing up brick after brick. So I start sweating like I'm running a marathon. I'm like, oh my God, what am I going to do? And finally, I see what that's like with Lee. He looks like he's never seen a basketball before in his life. And normally it wouldn't matter, but freaking Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is there.
It's crazy.
Well, he was a good sport with that, too, because he could have pulled like a Corinne. And
went
sat out
nap,
and made it really dramatic.
And that's one of the reasons why two episodes in, it looks like this is going to be so much better than the last couple seasons we've had. Because exactly that, the people on the show seem like they're good sports.
Yes.
And they're there to, other than,
Lucas.
You know, we can talk about Lucas and Blake, but generally speaking.
And DeMarion or whatever.
Yeah, DeMario. They want to be part of the show and not necessarily like DeMario or Lucas or whoever, who may not be there for the right reasons, drink. Want to be there for Rachel and want to actually interact. And just, there's so much more personality, and not that Corinne didn't have personality, but in the good way. And I think that this bodes very well for the season, because that's a great point. Lee could have said, "I'm here to sing songs and win hearts. Screw this basketball stuff." No, he tried to take the ball to the hole, and he looked ridiculous, and that's fine.
You brought up Lucas and Blake.
Ugh.
And I just wanted to—I know we're kind of jumping around, and my brain is—you guys might have to, I don't know, direct the runway a little bit. But when Blake was going on and on about Lucas privately to Rachel— saying that he wears makeup and he not here for the right reasons. What was that all about?
It was pretty early for that too. But you know,
they kind of touched
on it last night, but a story came out last week saying that they both were on a dating show last year on WeTV.
Okay.
And something happened that Lucas's girlfriend ended up falling for Blake, and then they moved in together. And then that relationship didn't work out, so now Blake's ex-girlfriend is Lucas's ex-girlfriend also.
Okay.
And that's the thing that Blake left out.
Right.
Blake, who's trying to be the truth teller in this situation, which if you've watched the show, and which we've seen so far is that these guys have, if you've watched the show, you know the tattletale never ends up coming out on the right side of this. Now, not maybe initially, because maybe the Waboom guy goes away, but you're not going to be in there for the long haul. You're better off just biting your tongue, letting things...
Yeah, look at the Corinne situation.
Exactly.
We already forgot the girl's name.
Letting things just come out on their own, or letting the producers do it like they did with DeMario. Let it go, because if you're going to be the one and all you do is talk about someone else, that's not good for your long-term health on the show.
You know, and Rachel being attorney, you got a glimpse of how good she is at letting things unfold, letting the evidence speak for itself. When she walked DeMario out of the locker room, she didn't say, I have a surprise for you, I have someone I want you to meet, nothing. She just walked along,
she
like
just threw
nothing
him in there.
Was going on. And then, surprise, surprise.
Well, I mean, you could tell because he thought he was all smiles, and he thought that maybe he was
being pulled
getting
aside.
An early rose or something on the group date, and then he just didn't know what to do.
Oh, I'm jumping all over the place, but the husband material, which she's out there barbecuing in her cute little dress, and this is something you always notice. They never ate any of the food that they barbecued.
Such a waste. And it was all... Because not only, what, as we were saying, was it a fun activity, and finally this all three dates, every aspect of this worked, and it's been a few years since we've seen that. But that was, I think, the one part they missed, is she's grilling. I wanted a little bit more of them just sort of hanging out and grilling and doing that part of it, because I said, oh, they're going to a barbecue, and then it went right to, okay, you're going to be vacuuming and changing baby, which is fine. I would have just liked a little more hangout beforehand.
Baby's first soup.
Yeah, which we need to talk about Lucas's run in that husband material. He was slamming Kenny down and dropping the baby.
Drowning the baby. So he was the winner of this competition.
I mean, come on.
But if you were going by the actual, okay, this at the end, the only thing they checked was, oh, is the table set properly? How about, well, is the baby's head getting dropped?
Is the baby still alive?
Is the baby drowning? These are things that they never checked. But at the end, like, oh, wait, the knife isn't in the proper spot. Well, that shows whose husband.
And then he slammed the baby down like football.
I know, like spiked it. Yep. Although Mila Kunis is a bad mom, you know, she's made that crystal clear, which if you haven't seen that movie, run,
so
don't
funny.
Walk to see it. It's one of the best movies I've seen in a long time. But yeah, the only way Lucas would stay on going forward is if he wins a competition, because we all know he's just a stupid punchline.
And that's why Blake didn't have to say anything.
Right.
You know he's there just for Waboom. You know he's there just for Waboom.
All the other guys know it.
Rachel's going to figure it out if she hasn't already. The fact
she's
that
smart.
He survived the first cut is surprising, but let that happen. You don't, it's just such a mistake because you don't want to tie yourself to that person. It's not going to work out. Blake, if you survive this rose ceremony coming up next week, stop with Waboom, whether he stays or not.
Who was the guy who said to her when they had some alone time, I saw you last season and you really are as... Like, he was surprised that she was as attractive and nice as she is. It came out so wrong. I just thought, this is your A material, dude? Like, why are you saying
I'm sure
this
she
to
greeted
her?
It with an I love that.
Yeah.
Although she did, I will say this because I was waiting, you know, to be dead drunk. She didn't say I love that, but she did use the word love in relation to things, just not the, oh, I love that. Like, this, I love this, or I love... She didn't say the full, I love that. I felt a little, you know, wanting for her to say the full phrase.
Yeah, and we got to see a lot of Dean for the first time on this date, which was kind of a breath of fresh air after the whole Blake versus Lucas thing that went down with her. But Dean and Kenny, we got to see...
Kenny's the dad, and Dean has never held a baby.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, after that, Dean got the rose, and she loved their kiss and was passionate and sweet. And
okay, so Peter gets the season's first one-on-one date. And Ryan, I believe you have Peter on your team, and right? He's going to win the whole thing, obviously.
Well, I mean, that would be nice if I finally get a winner. But can we just talk about this one-on-one date? Because
it's not a one-on-one date. There was someone else involved.
And it's a two-on-one.
And that's what made it the best one-on-one date maybe we've ever seen.
Agreed.
Because all of a sudden, the two-on-one jumps out of the car, and it's Copper!
Copper, the three-legged dog.
Well, for now, he's going to be better.
Survived an accident, which... What was the accident?
So, if you remember, Rachel said to Peter, oh, because he thankfully was a dog guy, and said...
I could have been right
away. Exactly. Right away, asked, oh, what happened? She said, oh, we'll talk about that, and then they never covered it. Rachel then went onto Twitter and sort of said, I guess he jumped off something. She didn't say what. She literally said something and broke a toe. And so the cast is on there for the broken toe on his paw.
Oh, he's not missing part of his leg?
No, it's just a long cast.
I thought that was like an attachment. Like it sounded like the dog had three legs.
No, it's a long, he can't use it because of the cast. And so he runs like he has three legs. And so he's more like just a peg leg right now. But the cutest thing.
So cute.
And if we could just have Copper at every date, or at least every one-on-one date, the group dates might be too much.
Yeah.
Sign me up. This is A-plus season.
Wait, you're on to something. The Bachelor for Dogs.
Can Copper be the first contestant? I would totally be that. Let's get Animal Planet in on this.
It's also important because there are people who are not dog people out there. So if you're falling in love with someone who despises dogs, which I don't know how you can be like that, but
fall in love
you
with someone
know.
Who loves dogs but is allergic to them.
Yeah.
Whoa.
See, that could be a deal breaker.
If you think about it, in reality, and not just reality shows, but reality, there are very few actual deal breakers when it comes to relationships. Think about it. You would like to think there are all kinds of real deal breakers.
You're in debt up to your eyeballs. That's okay.
Yeah. I think despising dogs or not, like, even if you're a cat person, that's fine. But if you don't like dogs...
There's something wrong with you.
Yeah. To me, that's one of the few true deal breakers.
I would like to point out that for the first time in I don't know how many years, our president does not have a dog.
That is the political portion of the episode. You can send all complaints to Christine Link at Bachelor Podcast.
I'm just saying he doesn't have a dog. Just think about that, America.
You can take this for whatever you'd like to then. Because, okay. Like I said, if you were to pick five deal breakers and very huge, big tentpole issues, not liking dogs is right there.
I agree with you 100%.
So the fact that Copper was BFFs right away, head on the lap, we're getting pets, everything's great, that's a big hurdle to clear for me.
Well, especially you could be a dog lover but not get along with someone's dog just for any particular reason.
That's true.
Not because you don't love dogs. I mean, dogs are quirky just like humans.
And they might, so Copper might have, because you did hear Copper give a little
That
little
was a
growl.
Dubbed in growl. You know that dog doesn't growl.
Hey, Copper has his own ideas going on up there. Who knows? But big fans in the air. Then they came out and they're hopping along together. He even got his own spot at dinner.
Yeah, that was
adorable.
They
set him up with a little bed in front of the table.
So dinner couldn't have gone any better than it did. I mean, from the conversation to the topics to the teeth to everything, like you couldn't have asked for a more perfect, you know.
Yeah, and they talked about therapy in a very, I know we're saying this a lot, but a very real way.
Yeah.
And there's another thing that has this weird stigma about it. Like, oh, you went to therapy?
Right.
Yeah, a lot of people do. And it's very helpful. And so to see both of them sort of, and she was gracious, you're reading my mind here. Because when I ended my last relationship, obviously not Nick, when I ended my last relationship, I went to therapy and it was a huge help. That's fine.
Like, I'm going to therapy next week, actually.
There you go. Like, so I think the fact that we get this silly show and they get to talk about this serious subject, so hopefully there are some people just looking for silly entertainment like us. We're like, oh, okay.
It's validating. It's validating to people on the show, and it's validating to people watching the show, because you're like, well, not everything's perfect. But not everything's perfect and their teeth.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
And it's like, and it's so funny, because talking about relating to things, I'm watching, and I also had a gap in my teeth, but I had braces to pull them together. But I have a scar in my lip, and doctors have said to me, you know, I can fix that. I'm like, no, I like it, actually. I like the scar. She said the same thing. Like, it gives you character.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's a big thing to connect over, because you have, that means you have the same set of values about what gives you character and what's superficial and what you just need to leave alone.
Yeah, I feel like they had very similar backstories and relationship backstories, and that connected them, I think, sooner than they both realized. And that's, I think, what made it such a great and real date.
Speaking of real, can I also have to say this about her. I'm so grateful we finally have a bachelorette who seems to have a real body. Like, I feel like her body, they don't make her something she's not. It just looks like, okay, I can relate to her body more than JoJo, or like, who seems like very teeny TV tiny. I'm just saying her body looks real. It doesn't come across as they're trying to make you feel bad about yourself at home.
Yeah.
And it's seemingly, maybe you guys know better than I would, but seemingly it's 100% real.
Not that that matters one way or the other.
It does not.
But it feels good to see someone who looks like me, or who looks like any other person that we encounter during
the
day. Yeah,
this just an overall great season so far.
And okay, she's got it's a only, booty. Can I just say?
Only episode two.
I wasn't saying it.
She's got a booty. And it's a good booty. And I'm like, thank God. We have a woman with a booty.
Finally.
You know what I'm saying? But yeah.
I do know what you're saying, actually. But I wasn't going to say it.
But Peter likes her inside and outside, obviously. And I think they're cute together.
She's a smitten kitten.
Yeah, yeah. They're definitely, I think Ryan, you just might as well just say that you won the whole contest.
Although the one thing that I could have done without on the date, and this, if the dog wasn't there, it wouldn't be an issue, but the fireworks at the end.
But they always have to have fireworks.
I was going to say, it wouldn't be complete without
fireworks.
All
I was thinking
fireworks.
Of was Little Copper, because so many dogs don't like fireworks. I'm thinking, oh no, is he going to start
they
whining
They probably gave
hiding?
Him a Xanax beforehand. I hope so.
I know
how about the Bark, was it the Bark Bus? Bark Fest by Bark Box?
Bark, and I sent this out on Twitter into the world. Bark Box, if you want a sponsor, this fine program here, BarkBox, is a fine product, and we're not being paid to say that yet, but we'd love to be. So
they replied this morning with a smiley face.
Oh, well, how about some dollar signs, too, because we'd love to send people.
BarkBox, my friend uses your product. She has five dogs, and she gets BarkBox delivered regularly for her children.
Hashtag not spawn. So, I mean, this is all legit. BarkBox is awesome.
Okay, so I guess, will Jamie, Diggy, Alex, Adam, Lee, Matt, Eric, Josiah, and DeMario are whisked away to play group date number two, basketball, in front of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And this is when the S really hits the fan, because it's during this time that DeMario gets called out onto the carpet by someone who may have other motives. She might want to be on Bachelor in Paradise sometime in the future. I haven't quite decided about Lexi yet, the ex-girl, scorned, still girlfriend, but probably ex-girlfriend. What are your thoughts on how that played out?
I think the game was foreshadowing what was coming, because that was a terrible basketball game, first of all. But, I mean, she spoke directly
to the camera and not in a confessional.
Yeah.
So that's why I was a little, she knows what she's doing.
She was definitely looking to start something, obviously. Yeah. And, you know, Rachel wasn't just like, all right, yeah, it's just this crazy person trying to, you know, sabotage something. Like, she got right in there, listened to her, went into the locker room, grabbed DeMario, took him out, and you could tell that he had no idea. Like, he thought he was, you know, getting an early rose, whatever he thought.
And we all knew.
And I was so anxious for him to come out and see Lexi out there, but he just...
Who's that?
He didn't even
know
what to say or do. He was just like...
No, but if you notice, before the who's that...
Recognition.
Clear recognition. Like, whoa, who's that?
He's like, oh, what do you do? Wait, who's Twitter, that?
Somebody on Twitter tweeted this out, and it got retweeted like 1,000 times. DeMario went through all the stages of being caught cheating. Deny knowing her. Call her crazy. Say they broke up. Become the victim.
Yeah, it was
all in 30 seconds.
All in 30 seconds.
You could see it going south real from the very beginning when he tried to, dude, or anybody else that's left on the show. And we're assuming DeMario's gone, but that's a whole nother issue.
And she basically said what you're going to say to the rest of the guys.
Yeah. Is if there's something out there and the producers bring it onto the show, at that point, denying it is probably not the way to go. Because if it's the fact that she's sitting there, you should, and he seemed like a smart dude. You should know.
No.
Okay, yeah, exactly. He seemed. You should know she's not there just by accident, obviously. So maybe going the, oh, who's this? Maybe the, oh, yeah, we saw each other a couple times. And like the attorney she is.
Boom, text messages.
Yeah. Rachel kept giving him opportunities to maybe not get himself off the hook, but to own up to it.
Right.
And it wasn't until we saw actual text messages. And then even he was still not fully embracing what was happening in front of him.
I don't understand why people don't get that you have so much more integrity and people will respect you so much more if you just man up or woman up. Like, yes, you know what? You're right. That's my fault. I'm sorry. I'll leave now. You know, nobody respects this game playing, deny, call her crazy, becoming a victim. Yeah. You look like a tool.
And I feel like this was one of the situations that the producers didn't know, like, when they casted him, because Lexi didn't even see him until after the final rose, which they had already
recorded
technically was starting the whole introductions. So I think that they just got lucky with that, and it unraveled right as they started filming. And
I like the roaming around jump cuts of Rachel walking through the gym. Then Chris Harrison comes in. I don't want to talk about it. She goes into the ladies' locker room. The immediate next scene you would think would be cameras following her in the locker room. No, she's back in the gym again. Like, somehow she went from the locker room to the gym, walking past the basketballs again. Full, like she's a caged animal, you know, pacing.
Yeah.
And I mean, they really must not have had much footage to work with, so they tried to
drag it out.
It
was great, though. As soon as Chris showed up, she turned right around and said, I'm not talking about this right now. Right into the bathroom.
Right.
I feel like this was the earliest, I don't even want to do this anymore. Quote. Like, you're only on the first or second group date, and you're already saying you don't want to do this anymore.
But she's right. You know, she eliminated some guys from the first episode who probably she could have held on to. So now I'm wondering if they're going to. They wouldn't bring one of those guys
back. I think they'll just move on.
They?
And the other guys even mentioned, they said, you have to say how, you know, that you're not in a relationship, and you're basically like filling out little forms. Yep, no girlfriend within this amount of time.
Right.
So clearly he was lying about the whole thing if they were technically together in one form or another right up until the night he shows up on after the final rose.
What did he think was going to happen? I don't
that
understand.
She was just going to.
No one would know.
Yeah, she wasn't going to go to the producers and say, hey, guess what? I can show you text messages of us talking right up to the day before the final rose.
When she walked in to get DeMario, and we all knew why, but he didn't. So I was watching her face, and she's like, can I talk to you for a minute? Can I borrow you for a minute? And I felt like it was a mom grabbing a kid who had just got found out, but the kid doesn't know it yet.
Oh, yeah.
And when she went back into the locker room to talk to the remaining guys, her game face is so, don't play with me. I'm not here like that. I don't want to be embarrassed. I don't want to get played. So if you have something that I need to know, you can go ahead and let me know, because it's not happening. And I think they all collectively had to check their drawers after that little speech, because she means it.
I think she's smart enough not to, because jumping ahead at the end, he comes back. And there is always the opportunity that she could be like, I know we talked this out, this happened, but I'm going to give you another chance.
She told him to get the out.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm saying. I'm saying that she's smart enough not to give him a second chance, but it has happened.
And I really like how all of the guys basically,
let's roll,
in agreement, said, yeah, let's go tell him.
I loved that.
Same as her, to get out of here. Now, hopefully, it doesn't escalate to the point where there's any physical issues, but just the idea of all of them standing there and saying, get out of here. You disrespected her, you disrespected us.
And you made a cheap show look cheaper.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
When you disrespect a reality show, do you know how far down the line you're going?
That is low, man.
So I can't imagine she's going to let him back in. This is a very classic Bachelor move where somebody who gets kicked out tries to hang around longer to maybe stick around.
Chad.
But yeah. Peace out. Go away. End of story.
Right.
But I loved when he walked up and security was like, let me get Mr. Harrison.
I wrote that down too. Because now that you're off the show, you cannot call him Chris.
Yeah.
That's just how it works.
Well, and it
here.
Shows you that security will only call him Mr. Harrison.
Yeah.
There's no Chris.
No Chris. Well on camera.
Show some respect for your elders in the Bachelor universe.
And can we give Ashton Kutcher just like his ups for not saying waboom? I was really proud of him for not falling into that trap because he knows that would be on repeat on social media for
Ashton
the rest
Kutcher
of his life.
Was all of us when finding out about Waboom. They say, can you say Waboom? What is that? I don't understand what it is. What's just a sound? Well, why would I do that? Yeah. It doesn't make any sense. Exact. Thank you. This is all of us not understanding.
Yeah, and all the guys kind of went in on that saying, dude, well, it was specifically, but like, you're here just to get your stupid trademark sound out, and what is this two personality Lucas? On one level you're screaming everywhere, and on the other you're sitting here calmly on the couch. Which one is the real Lucas? They're both the real Lucas.
Yeah,
that was so super weird between Blake and Lucas, because not only is Blake way too all about you gotta go, but Lucas seemed almost, and I know they've been drinking for a while at that point.
I think they had a threesome. I think there's some awkward moments there.
That's not something
with okay. the girlfriend.
I'm scrub that from my brain. I know they've been drinking for a while at that point, and there's a lot of other stuff going on, but he seemed so, there's difference, and then there's seeming almost drugged.
What do you want to talk about with... I'm here for because of.
I noticed that too.
Is this the same guy?
You thought Lucas seemed drugged?
He seemed something because he just, that conversation with Blake, he seemed like a different person. And I don't mean, flip the switch to Waboom guy.
No, he was just like, yeah, well, okay. Ooh. Like, he was really just like all over the place.
Talk to me how you want to talk to me. I'm talking to her.
I think he was trying to be like.
Is he mixing
cool?
pain meds and alcohol or something? Terrible.
Pulled a Tiger Woods. I don't know.
Oh my god. Well, I just, he's not, the only way he's going to stay on that show is if he keeps winning competitions. I hope. Seriously, because he's terrible for her or anyone else for
as
matter.
Long as Blake's around, because you got that controversy right there.
So then we have the cocktail hour at the end, which is what you were talking about, how DeMario comes back. Mm-hmm. But again, I think this is where I noticed the guys sitting down to talk to her, it felt so businesslike, a lot of them. I thought, what are you doing?
Well, and she said that too. She's like, I feel like I'm sitting down with friends, like I'm not feeling any romance from them. But, you know, there were a few, like Josiah, who they shared a good kiss, which he ended up getting the rose for that date.
The second group date.
Yeah, second group date. But yeah, up to the cocktail hour before the rose ceremony, there was a little connection with Brian, but then he did the whole like back massage thing, which was a little weird.
Also a Bachelor classic, by the way.
That's a creepy move.
But like, it's your second night. Like, you should.
But the thing with Josiah that got me was the messaging I was all about. Very defensive. You can tell it, you know, he was ready to stand up for her and all that. And I understand it's a Bachelor and it's, or Bachelorette, and it's a reality show, and I get all this. Almost too rehearsed when he said that line.
Overly protective.
Yeah, and not even just the protective part. I'm fine with that. It's just all of his lines were so prepared, they seemed creepy to me. And I like Josiah. I think he's got a good story. I think he's obviously a good-looking guy. They seem to have chemistry. But that whole, and clearly she didn't care because he got the rose. As I'm watching that, I'm thinking, why?
I agree with that.
Why is this a thing? And not overall, but just in this time, I don't know, the way he delivered his lines seemed very creepy to me.
Though, that's something to hold on to because, you know, we all know that this is a totally natural and unscripted show.
Exactly.
So for it to come across that way is
reality show, people. This is all real.
especially disturbing. Is there anything else that jumped out on the episode aside from the sit down with who was it? Oh, now my back pain is kicking in again into my brain. Sat down with her, and he had met her already on After the Rose, and she told him he had stolen her line.
That was Dean.
Dean, yes, yeah. Dean. He had stolen her line, and she said she loved, you know, the. She's like, oh, my God, I was totally going to use that on you, and you used it on me.
Yeah, and she didn't know if she should say it or not.
And he didn't know if he should say it.
Exactly, and he did, and then she was so glad that
but
he said
it. But don't you think it goes to when you were talking about she was waiting for guys to make the first move, and I think that's something that she's super attracted to. She was thinking it, but he said it first, and because she doesn't want to be the one in charge, mm-hmm. even though she's a balls-to-the-wall attorney.
Well, maybe that's why.
Yeah, she wants...
she's always in charge. Now, yeah. It's, hey, guys, you're supposed to be courting me.
That made me think...
Show your game.
Dean really has a really... We can't write him off.
And here's the thing with Dean. I didn't like the line when he said it after the rose, and I thought that was going to be just, no, forget him. She made it very clear that wasn't one of her many, oh, I love that, where she was sort of giving everybody the pat on the back. She went out of her way to not only say, that was great, but I, like you said, I was going to say it. So I'm with you. I had not thought he was someone that would be that strong just because anytime you start with that, and does she really mean it? Seems like she does, and clearly took the initiative, which has... already caught her eye. So I'm with you. I think he bounced up the chart big time.
Right, yeah, me too, big time. And at the very end, when the collective group of guys say, one of them says we're going to give DeMario an ass kicking, but we think it's just going to be a sit down and DeMario time for you to go home.
Not even a sit down. I think it's just going to be standing at the end of the driveway saying, dude, unless you want 50 guys or whoever's left to all... Take you that, you know.
I thought it was
left.
Really.
It's embarrassing that he's coming back. Yeah. It's like, now you've made it worse.
I did think it was really cool that all the guys got really protective and defensive over that because she obviously already stated that that's what she's looking for and what she wants. So I thought it was pretty cool.
It would have been so easy for just one guy to say, you all stay here. I've got this.
And he would have been the douchebag.
The typical, you know, I lift things up and put them down.
Lucas.
And So for, I just like, again, I thought it was kind of cool just to see everybody go out there and no matter what you're doing, anytime you get everybody to sort of stand up for something, thumbs up.
Yeah.
We don't get that a lot in this show.
We have a fantasy league that we're doing. Ryan, you're better at explaining this than I am.
Yeah. If you've ever done any fantasy sports, it's the same sort of idea. You just... I pick a player, whatever you want to call them. I pick a guy, and then he's no longer available to be picked, and the next person picks. And obviously not everyone you end up picking is someone you think has a bright future in this show, but that's who's left. And so at the top of your team, you generally have people that you think have a chance, and then by the end, you end up with the Waboom guy, and you don't understand how you got there.
I have the Waboom guy.
Yes, well, I wasn't going to say that, but yes, you do have the Waboom guy.
But Katie has DeMario, so...
I do. I have an extra moat yet, though.
You lost a playa, but we don't know.
Not yet. He might get a second chance. There were some people talking in the scenes, you know, coming up on The Bachelorette, off camera... lines that could have been DeMario and them not wanting to use his face.
I didn't watch the preview either for what's coming up. So I pulled a Ryan Jones and said, I'm not going to see what's coming up next week. I'm just going to be surprised.
I usually like to do that, but I figured we might talk about it.
Okay,
so
go ahead. What happened?
Well, I'm not there. Like always, there's never anything.
You never really know.
You never see anything, but there were some very rare that you see them use a clip of someone talking and not show their face. And I noticed that a couple times you heard them and did not see them. And I thought, oh, maybe DeMario's going to stick around.
They're just doing it on purpose.
Of course, just like...
Trying something new.
Yeah, anytime someone's bleeding, oh, no, what happened? Oh, I had a bloody nose. Oh, okay.
Right.
Yeah, okay. Oh,
he
my God.
He definitely got punched in the face.
Yeah, I know. I'm so hurt. What happened? Oh, I stubbed my toe. Oh, okay. Cool.
Well, I guess we'll have to wait till next week to find out how bitchy karma can be for DeMario. We'll have to wait and see.
Oh, yes. Karma go, babe. Go
She
away.
Keeps receipts, as Katy Perry says. All right. So, Bachelor Podcast, you can find us online on Twitter, Facebook, so all social media at Bachelor Podcast. Thank you, Katy Pallotta.
Thank you.
And thank you, Ryan Jones.
Full circle, baby. What's a waboom?
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.